commentator and our spiritual master. Nashta prayeshu badreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. By regularly attending the Srimad Bhagavatam class and by rendering service unto the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving devotional service unto the personality of Godhead, whose worship with transcendental songs becomes established as an irrevocable fact. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing our reading from the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is chapter 4. Today's text is 34. Deha nyasam cha tasyaivam dhiranam dharya bardhanam anyesham dushkarataram pashunam viklavatmanam. We must pronounce the long A's long. When you see the diacritic over the A, it's a long A. So it's not pashunam. It's pashunam. If we don't do that, then the whole thing gets messed up. Okay? Dehanyasam chatasyaivam dhiranam dhairyavardhanam anyesham dushkarataram pashunam viklavatmanam dehanyasam chatasyaivam dhiranam dhairyavardhanam anyesham dushkarataram pashunam viklavatmanam dehanyasam chatasyaivam dhiranam dhairyavardhanam anyesham dushkarataram pashunam viklavatmanam. Please chant. Anyesham dushkarataram pashunam viklavatmanam dehanyasam chatasyaivam dhiranam dhairyavardhanam anyesham dushkarataram pashunam viklavatmanam. Dehanyasam chatasyaivam dhiranam dharyavardhanam anyesham dushkarataram pashunam viklavatmanam. Vaishnavins, dhiranam dharyavardhanam anyesham dushkarataram pashunam viklavatmanam nyasam chatasyaivam Tiranam Thayavardhanam Anyesham Dushkarataram Pashunam Viklavatmanam Synonyms Dehanyasam. Entering the body. Cha also. Tasya his. Evam also. Dhiranam of great sages. Dharya perseverance. Vardhanam increasing. Anyesham for others. Dushkara taram, very difficult to ascertain. Pashunam of the beasts. Viklava disturbed. Atmanam of such a mind. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. The Lord's glorious acts and his acceptance of various transcendental forms for the performance of extraordinary pastimes in the mortal world are very difficult for anyone other than his devotees to understand, and for the beasts, they are simply a mental disturbance. Please repeat. The Lord's glorious acts and his acceptance of various transcendental forms for the performance of extraordinary pastimes in the mortal world are very difficult for anyone other than his devotees to understand. And for the beasts, they are simply a mental disturbance. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The transcendental forms and pastimes of the Lord, as described in Bhagavad Gita, are difficult subject matters for those who are not devotees to understand. The Lord never reveals himself to persons like the Gyanis and Yogis, and there are others who, because of their envying the Lord from the bottom of their hearts, are classified amongst the beasts. And for such envious beasts, the subject matter of the Lord's appearance and disappearance is simply a mental disturbance. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, text 15, the miscreants who are simply concerned with material enjoyment, who work very hard like beasts of burden, can hardly know the personality of Godhead at any stage due to asurika bhava, or a spirit of revolt against the Supreme Lord. The transcendental bodily expansions manifested by the Lord for his pastimes in the mortal world and the appearance and disappearance of such transcendental expansions are difficult subject matters, and those who are not devotees are advised not to discuss the Lord's appearance and disappearance, lest they commit further offenses at the lotus feet of the Lord. The more they discuss the transcendental appearance and disappearance of the Lord in the asuric spirit, the more they enter into the darkest region of hell, as stated in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 16, text 20. Anyone who is against the transcendental loving service of the Lord is more or less a beastly creature, as confirmed in this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Mutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deshtarine. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshara Unmilitam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtang Stapitang Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeyahang Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Guru and Vaishnavangscha Sri Rupam Sagadatam Sahagana Ragana Tanbutam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Purjana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanbutangscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dhinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindabaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sanduva Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasari Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Well, one of these purports that Srila Prabhupada really doesn't hold back. And she can speak like this because he's on a platform above the beastly mentality. When you're on the platform of beastly mentality, it's hard to understand what's being stated here. It's really amazing that the pure living entity, part and parcel of Krishna, the supreme pure, as Arjuna states in the Bhagavad Gita, Param Brahma, Param Dhava, Pitram, Paramam Bhava. Krishna is the supreme pure, and therefore he can purify anything and everyone. But we're also parts and parcels of Krishna. We have similar, supposedly, qualities. But when we fall into this material world, we can become so covered that we become beastly. Literally. Anybody here know anybody that has beastly mentality? I just look in the mirror. Yes, as long as we're subjected to the machinations, the ups and downs of modes of material nature, we can fall into this beastly mentality. What is the beastly mentality? Prabhupada very succinctly defines that a human being wants to do good for others. A beastly person, an animalistic person, wants to take advantage of others. That's the dividing line. If you find that you're more inclined to do good for others, then you're approaching real human mentality. And if you find that you always want to exploit others, then you're in beast mode. So we have to be very careful, because it's very easy to fall back into, revert to beast mode when you're in the material world. No matter how we try to elevate ourselves, the material energy is always trying to drag us down, because that's her service to Krishna. We can't be surprised when we fall down or others fall down due to the influence of the modes of material nature, because that's her thankless seva to Krishna, is to always try to drag us down until we get to the point where we just take complete shelter of Krishna, at which point you can't be dragged down anymore. Anybody who's completely under Krishna's shelter cannot be dragged down by the modes of material nature. So we should want to achieve that. That's our actual normal, healthy position. Just like if you're ill, if you have some sickness, naturally you should want to get rid of it. Prabhupada said three things should be dealt with immediately. So one of them is illness. If you have some illness, don't mess around. Take care of it. The other one is debt. If you owe somebody some money, pay it back right away. First of all, you should try never to borrow money. Even as children, we were taught that. Neither a borrower nor a lender be. That's from the Bible. Try not to borrow and try not to lend. So, illness, if you're sick, take care of it right away. Don't wait, put it off until it goes from stage one to stage two to stage, oh my God, stage four, and now it's too late. See, take care of it. You're not feeling well, get it diagnosed. If you can't self-diagnose, get it diagnosed. So illness, debt, try not to borrow, but if you have to borrow under certain circumstances, pay it back as soon as possible. And the third one, fire. There's no such thing as a little fire. Oh, it's just a little fire. If there's some fire, put it out immediately. Don't wait. If you're in a campsite somewhere, try to protect your fire from the wind. And as soon as you finish cooking, put it out, because the wind can pick up. And a lot of these wildfires that we experience here in California, some of them are deliberately set, but many of them are just accidents. Somebody goes into the forest, they make a little fire to make some, you know, something to eat. And before you know it, boom, wind comes, catches a spark, it falls on a dry grass, and the whole thing goes up. So these three things should be taken care of immediately. But outside of the obvious fire, anala, that burns things, there's also internal fire. Internal fire, fire of digestion. If that fire is low, then we can't digest our food. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, I am that fire in your stomach that digests your food. So we're dependent on Krishna for everything. But also there's the fire of desire. The fire of desire. So we have to very carefully monitor our desires. What do we want at every moment? Because the material energy at every moment is suggesting things for you to want. And the desires that we develop in our hearts, in our minds, are very much influenced by who we associate with. Directly, people that we see on a regular basis and associate with, and indirectly, internet, radio, movies, whatever. This is also association. And because of that association, we're developing desires. So the whole scheme of Krishna consciousness is to accept the guidance of a spiritual master who will train us how to desire properly. Because we cannot eliminate desire. This is the Buddhist approach. You're suffering in this material world because you're desiring, you're always wanting. Stop desiring. You can't. The desire to stop desiring is a desire. You cannot stop desiring. And desire is the innate nature of the spiritual being, you and I, the Atma. We always have desires, things we want to do and things we don't want to do. So desire is always there. We have to be trained how to desire properly. This is Yama Niyama, the beginning of the yoga system. What to do, what not to do. What to want, what not to want. So if you try to jump over that stage, you can't get to bhava. Like certain yoga groups, they talk about being in the bhava and come to our yoga, you know, festival and you'll be in the bhava. No, first you have to have yama niyama. If you don't know what you should do and what you shouldn't do, then yes, you'll go to some yoga festival, you'll sit down and beat the drum and chant Hare Krishna even. Some of them, they love to chant Hare Krishna. And then when the kirtan is over, pass the vino, pass the wine, pass the, you know, something to get high. So they haven't been trained in yama and yama, what to do and what not to do. What to eat, what not to eat. This is also part of what distinguishes the beasts from the humans. As Udharakirti Chaitanya Prabhu was saying, that quota, we have our quota. The tiger's quota is flesh. The tigers don't break into our granaries and steal our corn and wheat. No, they eat flesh. So human beings should not eat flesh. Of course, we go out in the world, we tell people this. No flesh foods, no meat, no fish, no eggs. And especially when I speak in universities and schools, there's always one smart student who says, well, why not eggs? So I tell them, contemplate. If an egg comes to maturity, what comes out of it? Not corn, not wheat, not ice cream. Chicken or some other kind of bird or like that. So egg is also flesh food. So we don't eat any flesh foods. No meat, no fish, no eggs. And why do we avoid that? Because the animals have a right to live. Just like we have a right to live. Right now we have, you know, well, not just in one place. All around the world people are struggling for the right to live. Somebody else wants to dominate them. They don't want to be dominated, which is natural. We don't want to be dominated. But ultimately, we are dominated by the supreme predominator, Krishna. But that's wonderful, to be predominated by Krishna. It's his natural position. He's the supreme Lord. And our natural position is to be predominated by him. But it's a wonderful relationship. It's not like here in the material world. We're afraid of being dominated by anybody because generally it turns out bad. Right? And therefore, we struggle. Somebody tries to dominate us in any sphere of life, whether it's work or family life or friends, anything. We don't want to be dominated. I want to be at least on an equal platform. So we have that tendency. We don't like to be dominated, but we should want to be dominated by Krishna because Krishna's domination of us is natural and perfect. It's natural and perfect. So then how do we fall into this beastly mentality? We're by nature pure, same nature as Krishna, same characteristics as Krishna, Satchidananda Vigraha. How do we fall into this beastly mode? So Krishna explains that in the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, text 27. Icha dvesha samutena dvandva mohena bharata. He explains that all living beings on this material plane are being driven by icha, which means desire, and dvesha, which means hatred. So this is one of those, just like today's purport was so to the point and heavy, I want to read the purport to 7:27. Prabhupada sums it up very nicely. So again, Krishna says, "Icha dvesha samuttena dvanda mohena bharata sarva bhutani sammoham sarge yanti parantapat." Translation, O sign of Bharata, O conqueror of the foe, all living entities are born into delusion, bewildered by dualities arisen from desire and hate. Now, Prabhupada's purport, very, very interesting. The real constitutional position of the living entity is that of subordination to the Supreme Lord, who is pure knowledge. When one is deluded into separation from this pure knowledge, he becomes controlled by the illusory energy and cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is a problem. Because we are deluded into separation from the pure knowledge of Krishna's position, our position, we cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which was being discussed in today's purport. That those who are in beastly consciousness, they can't, it's a disturbance to them to even try to understand Krishna. Continuing Prabhupada's purport, the illusory energy is manifested in the duality of desire and hate. Due to desire and hate, the ignorant person wants to become one with the Supreme Lord and envies Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Pure devotees who are not deluded or contaminated by desire and hate can understand that Lord Sri Krishna appears by his internal potencies. But those who are deluded by duality and nescience think that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is created by material energies. So when it says that the devotees are not deluded by desire, it doesn't mean they don't have any desire. No, their desire is pure to satisfy Krishna. This is their misfortune. Such deluded persons symptomatically dwell in dualities of dishonor and honor, misery and happiness, woman and man, good and bad, pleasure and pain, and so on, thinking, quote, "This is my wife. This is my house. I am the master of this house. I am the husband of this wife." End of quote. But we don't, those are not realities. A man is thinking like that. Like I've traveled extensively in former Yugoslavia. And in Montenegro, they have a joke that the Montenegrin man is so macho, you know, you're from that area, that although at home, when nobody's looking, he puts on an apron and the wife is telling him, do this, do that, wash the dishes, clean the floor. He's doing that behind closed doors. But when the wife is pregnant and about to give birth, they come out of the house, he rides on the horse and she walks behind. Because he's the boss. But it's not a reality. Nobody's boss in this world. And therefore we simply clash. So last sentence of the purport prophet says, these are the dualities of delusion. Those who are so deluded by dualities are completely foolish and therefore cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So we should not continue to be foolish. We should see clearly, accept the Vedic knowledge as it's presented. There is one Supreme Being, as we were hearing in the last class, Nityo Nityanam Chaitanya Chaitanam. One Supreme Conscious Being. We're all conscious, but we're not supremely conscious. I don't know exactly what you're thinking. You don't know exactly what I'm thinking. I don't know exactly the experiences you've had in your life. You don't know what I've been through exactly. So our knowledge is not complete. We have to accept that and we have to understand that. We don't have complete knowledge. We cannot pretend that we have complete knowledge. It's foolish. It's foolish. But Krishna has complete knowledge. Krishna says, Vedaham samatitani vartamani tamarjuna bhavishyami chabutani mam tu beda nakashana. Krishna says, I know everything, past, present, and future. And I also know everyone, but me nobody knows. So that's Krishna's position. He knows everything, he knows everyone, but nobody really knows him in truth. We can never know Krishna fully, but we can know as he reveals himself. And he came 5,000 years ago to reveal himself and his wonderful pastimes that are being referred to in today's verse. But still, many people wouldn't surrender. The foolish beast mode people like Kamsa. Kamsa thought he was a tough guy, and he was materially. It wasn't an accident that he became the top demon. Either the other demons surrendered to him or he beat them into surrender. These fights are described in the Gagra Samhita. How he was such a powerful demon, he would fight and subdue the other demons. So he thought he was a bad guy. And if I'm the topmost bad guy, like we have in the world nowadays, some people think they're the topmost bad guy, they will not surrender. They will not surrender. So Kamsa would not surrender. No matter how Krishna showed him repeatedly that he could not be defeated. He sent Putana, he sent Bakasura and Agasura and so many demons to kill Krishna. Krishna killed all of them. Still he wouldn't surrender. You would think, my God, I'm trying so hard to kill this person. Just like Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad. He had his henchmen try to kill Prahlad in so many ways and they couldn't. You would think, this guy is indefatigable. He cannot be defeated. No, I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to cut it like that. So the real demons, real beast mode people, they will never surrender until Krishna comes himself and smashes them. So we should not be so foolish, so stubborn. Every one of us has had some degree of being smashed already in this lifetime. If you're an adult, you've been kicked, you've been smashed. Surrender! That's the intelligent thing to do. Surrender to Krishna. And again, it's not like surrendering to your wife or your boss or your brother or your mother or father. Surrender to Krishna is the best thing we can do because Krishna is our best friend, best well-wisher. He declares that himself. So surrender to Krishna is good for us. It's not, oh my God. No, it's the best thing. It's the best thing. There is no safer position. There's no sweeter position. There's no better position than to be a surrendered soul to Krishna. So what are we waiting for? Icha dvesha samuttaina. We're still affected by bad desires and by hatred. Because until we fully surrender to Krishna, we're always a little bit envious of Krishna's position. We see somebody rises to a point where they want to dominate everybody else. Their neighboring countries, their own countrymen. You don't surrender to me. You protest against me, I put you in jail. You see? This person is a living entity just like we are. No bigger, no smaller. All jivas, all atmas are exactly the same in terms of potency. It's not that some atmas, some jiva souls are more powerful than others. No. They may exhibit power that Krishna invests in them. This is called, what do we call that? Shaktavesh. Yes. Shakti avesh. When Krishna invests particular powers in certain living entities, they may seem to be more powerful than other living entities. But actually, every living entity is exactly on the same platform. So we should never envy anybody else. If Krishna gives somebody Shakti, material or spiritual, materially we see no two living entities are the same. Not everybody can run as fast as the fastest person right now. Not everybody can, mentally speculate as the biggest mental speculators nowadays. So on every level, gross and subtle, there are distinctions for sure. But on the spiritual level, everybody's equal. So when you understand that, you don't envy anybody. Because whatever vibhuti, whatever shakti they're showing right now, is just temporary, materially speaking. And on the spiritual platform, we're all exactly the same. Krishna's part and parcel eternally. Krishna can invest particular energy in some living entities to come to the material world in particular and spread his glories. Or he comes himself as Lord Chaitanya and spreads the only remedy to get us out of beast mode, which is chanting Hare Krishna. So I wanted to bring a video from last night's Harinam because it was very, very, very interesting Harinam on the pier we did last night. While we were chanting Harinam, the cops were very active. Some guy, I guess, I don't know what he did, but they brought him in handcuffs. Really big guy. I mean, the cops, they were all, maybe 6 feet, a little tall. This guy was way, he was probably as tall as our visitor today. How tall are you? 6'7". He was about that tall. Big guy. White body, dressed in all black. But the interesting thing is, while they were hustling him to the police station, there's a little police station right there on the pier. So I could only see from behind. While they were hustling him, his hands were cuffed behind him. He was dancing to the music. Did you notice? No. Before that, that was a separate police incident. This was on the pier. On the pier, they were hustling this guy to the pokey, as we say, and he was dancing to the Hare Krishna beat. So just by being on the pier, even though he was a criminally inclined person, beast mode person, he was benefiting from hearing the Maha Mantra. That's why we go out. That's why Lord Chaitanya insists that we go out. This Nagar Kirtan must go on. Because it's the only hope. Harirnama, 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 Eva Kevalam. Kalona, Stevena, Stevena. There is no other hope for the beastly mentality people in the world, including ourselves. There is no other hope but chanting this Hare Krishna mantra. So this person, even though he was dancing, literally he was dancing to the beat while he was handcuffed. I couldn't believe it. And the cops, they were probably wondering, what the hell is this guy doing? And then after that, we left the pier, and we were going back to where we parked, right next to the train station. And another incident. About 10 cop cars came down Main Street, and they parked on Main Street, jumped out, they ran across in front of us, and some other guy was on the ground. But we were chanting, so he also benefited. So this is the Lord Chaitanya's movement. No matter what mentality you're in, the devotees can bless you by chanting Hare Krishna. And just by one's hearing, it goes in the heart and the surrendering process has begun. Spiritual advancement has begun just by hearing the Hare Krishna mantra. So we have to go out, distribute the books that convince them to chant, and distribute the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, and distribute prasadam. That's also very effective. Once here in Los Angeles, Prabhupada was on a morning walk with the devotees, and one devotee was saying, you know, Prabhupada, when we go out and we tell them about these principles, what to do, what not to do, they don't want to hear. Prabhupada stopped and he jammed his cane in the ground. He said, why are you surprised? You're preaching to cats and dogs. He said, make them fortunate. Give them this Hare Krishna mantra. Give them prasadam. Then they will become fortunate enough to try to understand the philosophy. So as stated in today's purport, those who are in beast mode, beastly mentality, they cannot understand God. To them, it's just a disturbance to even try. But if you make them fortunate by giving them books about Krishna, by giving them prasadam, by giving them the holy name, then there is chance that they can come to the standard, even in this lifetime, and go back to home, back to God. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So maybe time for one question. Any of the newer people first, any of the newer devotees or visitor have a question, comment? Okay, Sachit Tenoy.
Haribo Prabhu. Very strong purport, strong verses quoted from the Bhagavad Gita. Difficult to digest if you're not a devotee. So at the beginning of your class, you were mentioning at one point that one should train what to desire. And that's very important. So I'm leading to the question. So right now I'm seeing that more and more in the outside world, it becomes too fashionate to everybody has a cat and a dog everywhere, like practically speaking, everywhere you go. I didn't see that when I came here like 43 years ago. I didn't see that. So anyway, it's coming more prominent. My question is, if this, as the Bhagavad Gita verse says, 16:20, that they were envious sinners, and enviousness, they got that species, that life, that kind of life, dog, cat, dog. Prabhupada mentions in the purport. So my question is, do they, because they don't have that training, that desire to know who to associate, who not to associate, do they get affected by that enviousness and mischievous, you can say, mentality? Do they get by the association? I mean, we've been trained up as devotees to see differently.
Okay, yeah. As we say in English, if you lie down with dogs, you'll get fleas. So, but on the other hand, the desire to take care of other lingmentis is natural. It's natural. However, and we see many people say, well, I'd rather associate with dogs because human beings are worse than dogs. And in one sense, they're right. You know, the dog, how much trouble can a dog, you know, get into? Bite this person, that person, bite the, right now. Anyway, yeah. But a human being, we see how much trouble they can create for the whole world. One individual, how much trouble one person can create for the entire world. But again, it depends on what your goal in life is. We're not saying don't take care of animals. We don't say that. Actually, the Veda culture is yes. Every living entity is part and parcel of Krishna. We see them that way. And they should all be taken care of. We see, even when Krishna induced Nanda Maharaj to forego the Indra Yogya and to worship Govardhan, it stated there in that pastime that the prasadam was distributed to everybody, including the animals. So we don't overlook the animals. We know there's a spirit soul there. They have a right to live, and we can take care of them, but in the right mentality, not in the mentality of attachment. And otherwise, even from the level of Baba, one can fall, like Bharat Maharaj. He was naturally inclined to take care of this poor fawn, but he became too attached. And if you become too attached to anyone, not just animals, to other living entities, human beings, in the wrong mentality, attachment is natural, Prabhupada said many times. But if you become attached in the wrong way, in other words, having wrong desire, and generally it's because of my desire to be satisfied. You see, I like you because you satisfy my senses. Other people who don't see me in the same light, who think there's something wrong with me, I don't care for them. But those who flatter me and tell me I'm really nice and they always do nice things for me, I like them. And therefore I want to reciprocate. But it's all about me. We need to change that and make it all about Krishna. See, when everybody makes it all about Krishna, then we naturally get along. We naturally cooperate to satisfy Krishna. But as long as I keep seeing myself as the center, then I will like those animals who like me. Cats, dogs. That's why people like cats and dogs, because they don't ask for much. Feed them, you know, keep them nice and warm, and they're happy. And even if you don't, this is the nature of dog. They can become so attached to the master that even if the master is not nice to them, doesn't feed them regularly, kicks them once in a while, still they remain attached, which is a good quality for devotees to have. We should be so attached to Krishna consciousness and our spiritual seva that no matter what happens, we won't run away. Bhaktivinoda Thakur suggests like that. So that's a good quality of a dog. But we shouldn't become so attached to animals that we run the risk of, at the end of life, thinking of the animal instead of Krishna. This is the danger. Because wherever your attachment is, that's going to affect you at the last moment of your life. Tamal Krishna Maharaj was preaching once, and he stated that. I probably got it from Prabhupada. I haven't seen it in Prabhupada's books. But that your whole life is going to run in front of your eyes like a movie, very fast, from beginning to end. And you're going to latch on to the most prominent thing in that movie. And he was explaining, this is why it's so important for us to do Rath Yatra. Because even a common person, there's a good chance that at the end of their life, the most extraordinary thing they've seen is Lord Jagannath. So when that movie reel runs by, flashes by at the end of life, Jagannath, they see those big eyes. So we have to go out and do Rath Yatra. We have to go out and do all these festivals because it gives them a chance to be attracted more to this phenomenon, Lord Jagannath, than to the wife, the children, the cat, the dog, etc., etc. Okay? All right. Granta Rachmi Bhagavati Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. No, I was transferring it. It didn't transfer. Maybe next class. Yeah. Hare Bhagavati.
Krishna, Krishna, Hari Rama, 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 Hare Krishna.